Thank you, Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning to Book of Proverbs, chapter 30. We're getting down toward the end here, the Book of Proverbs. And we'll find ourselves this morning in verse 29 and following. The title of my message here this morning, Running the Race with Courage and Confidence. Running the Race with Courage and Confidence. Verse 29 of Proverbs 30 says, There are three things which are majestic in pace, yea, four things which are stately in walk, a lion which is mighty among the beasts and does not turn away from any, a greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray as we look into the eternal word of God that you would speak to us. And Father, thy word is truth. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So Father, I pray this morning that you'd lift up your name in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, here today. Lord, may I be a vessel that you speak through. And that, Lord, that you would guide me, and, Lord, that you would help me to bring glory and honor to your name. And, Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather around as saints of God. And, Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. So, Lord, bless us, guide us into all truth by the Spirit of truth that you've given to us, the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, bless us, and may the Lord Jesus have the preeminence in all things. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are three things which are majestic in pace, as four which are stately in walk, a lion which is mighty among the beasts. You know, a lion for generations and generations has been held up as a beast of courage, strength, and honor, that you fear the king of kings, the beast, the lion. When Solomon built his throne, does anybody remember what he had down each side of his throne? Down the steps as they went down. Do you remember when he built his throne and how he described it? What did he have there? He had lions there. When people came before the king, he wanted them to get a feel of his authority. And those lions were to give that aurora that, you know, there's power here on my throne. And you respect this throne because the lions gave that presence there. And so a lion is something that has courage and strength that men have admired for generations. A lion which is mighty among the beasts and does not turn away from any. The courage that a lion has. And when scripture, when Agur here mentions this lion here and these other animals, the greyhound, the male goat, and the king whose troop is with him, all these things symbolize the power and authority that goes with those who are trying to do God's work in God's ways. Now, this is Reformation Sunday. Martin Luther. And I want to talk about him for a little bit and about his courage he had. Because we as the saints of God sitting here today, are recipients of this man's labors and what he did for the church of the true God, the church of Jesus Christ. Now, when he was a young man, he was out in the open field with a companion of his, and a thunderstorm came up when he was a young man, and the lightning just started dropping. And they didn't know which way to run. It was hitting the ground. The lightning hit beside him and killed his friend. And he dropped to his knees and said, Oh God, if you get me out of this, I will serve you with my life. And he survived that thunderstorm. It killed his friend, but he survived. The thunderbolts were dropping right around them. He thought he was a dead man. Well, now the only thing in Martin Luther's day was the Catholic Church. They ruled everything. And he went to be a monk because that's what, if you were going to serve God, that's what you did. And he became a monk. Now, he would read the scriptures. Now, it wasn't that he didn't have the scriptures, but he didn't read them with saving faith understanding because the Catholic Church had kind of like shielded the scriptures in such a way with their teachings that it kept people from understanding what God was saying. It was like it was a cloud over it. And he felt conviction of sins. Now, I'm just telling you his story. This is how he felt about his sins. He felt he was so unworthy and such a sinner to show penance. And that was a teaching in the Catholic, penance. And he would do penance. Now, I'm telling you what he did. He would take a whip like this and go back and whip himself like this because he was trying to punish himself for his sins. He was saying, that's how I can make atonement for my sins. I mean, that's where he was spiritually trying to understand God. So Another thing he would do. Now, he thought, well, if I go to Rome and the Basilica there, they have these stairs that go in the Basilica. And people would, I think there's like 166 steps in this. I think that's what it was. I'm not sure. I may be wrong. But anyway, people would go up these steps in the Basilica, these stone steps, on their knees. And each step, they would stop and pray and confess their sins. And they'd go another step. Time they got to the top, their knees were bleeding. Okay, but he would do that to show God, I'm sorry for my sins. But no matter what he did, he always felt the crush of God. Now, he said this. Now, in Romans chapter 1, I want to show you something that he struggled with. He struggled. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And it's the righteousness of God he did not understand. Okay, I'm going to read this verse to you. Now, you have New Testament, sound doctrine, biblical understanding of the Bible. And you understand this, but when he read it, I'm going to show you how he understood it. It says, verse 16, "For now I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." This is what tripped him up. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." That little phrase, righteousness of God. Because he was taught that righteousness of God punishes sinners. Now, for Martin Luther, he felt this. He had all the Old Testament commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, all those Ten Commandments that he had to live by in the Old Testament. But then he looked to the New Testament, and he was taught that righteousness of God was the wrath of God against sinners. And he said, I looked to the Old Testament, and I felt condemned. He said, I looked to the New Testament, I felt condemned. And he didn't know what to do. He was just crushed. And he said, this is his testimony, and actually I'll read his words here. This is what he wrote. He said, "Although I lived as a monk without reproach," he said, "nobody could find fault with me. I felt that I was a sinner before God." This is his diary. "With God, an extremely disturbed conscience. This sin was ever before him. He couldn't get away from it. What do I do with my sin? I could not believe that he was placated by my satisfaction. I did not love, yes, I hated the righteousness of God who punished sinners. Secretly, if not blasphemously, certainly murmuring greatly, I was angry with God." See, he thought that righteousness of God was, God is righteous and sinners, you can keep reaching for that and you'll never touch it. It's always receding before you. You'll just never get there. And he was so frustrated. He said, how can I live a life like this? Now, that's where he was. This is his testimony. Because when we read this, see, he didn't understand the righteousness of God, what it meant. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." And all of a sudden, this is what he said. He said, "There I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that by which the righteous live by a gift of God." All of a sudden, this dawning seemed to, saving faith seemed to dawn, the light came to him. He said, "by which the righteous lives by a gift of God, namely faith." And all of a sudden he understood, this righteousness, I'm justified. God gives that to me by faith. It's not something I work for. I get that righteousness from God, and because I am righteous in God's sight, I want to live a righteous life. And all of a sudden, he realized all my sins have been nailed on the cross. Poof. And I'm saved. And he said, this is his words, "I felt that altogether, born again, and had entered paradise itself through an open gate." He said it totally changed his life when he realized that he could be saved from his sins. He didn't have to punish himself for his sins anymore. He didn't have to beat himself with a whip or go up steps on his knees confessing his sins. God took all of his sins away by his faith in Christ. And he felt forgiven. He felt cleansed. He felt that all of his sins were taken away. Now, do you have a troubled conscience? Does your past haunt you that you feel this weight of guilt? That if God was to stand before you today and declare to you your sin, that you would have nowhere to hide? What do you do with your sins? Some people blame others. Not my fault. Isn't that what Adam did? Lord, the woman you gave to me, she's the one. And what did the woman do? She blamed what? The serpent. Yeah. See, that's what people try to blame others. You can try to hide your sins, but doesn't God know everything? He knows everything. How are you going to hide your sins? And Martin Luther realized, all I got to do is tell God I'm sorry by faith, and I can receive that righteousness as a gift. He gives it to me free. And as soon as he came to God God's way, guess what God did? God gave him that assurance in his heart. Now, turn to Romans 8:16 here. I want to share one verse with you, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Can a person say, I know that I'm saved? Can they say that? Can they say that with confidence? Yes. They can say that with confidence. Why? Because the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And Martin Luther at that time, when God was dealing, and all of a sudden the light went on. Phew, he got it. Now, he went around trying to tell people what God did for him. Now, during this time, the Catholic Church was trying to raise money for big building programs they had going on. Raise money. And they went around telling people that you could buy indulgences. And in other words, if you gave the person, the representative from the Catholic Church money, that you could be forgiven of your sins and go to heaven. All you do is give your money and you could go to heaven. And they were selling these indulgences. Sheets of paper saying your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven. Now, I'm telling you, Martin Luther, he went through a tough time to get to the point where he knew he was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That was a tough journey for him, but he got there and he knew the truth. And all of a sudden somebody else comes along saying, you don't, just give us some money and you can be saved. That fired him up, because you know why? That is a lie from hell. And Martin Luther, he wouldn't stand for it. He would not stand for it. Now, Proverbs here says, what did our verse say? There are three things which are majestic in pace, yet four which are stately in walk, a lion which is mighty among the beasts. He does not turn away from what? Any. He doesn't turn away. So Martin Luther, he told these friars, hey, that is not true. People don't get saved by you selling your indulgences. They can't buy their way into heaven. It's a gift of God. And he took the Catholic Church right on. And what do you think the Catholic Church did? They didn't take it lightly. They labeled him a heretic. Well, they called him to the council. And they condemned him as a heretic. And guess what the Catholic Church would do to you if they didn't like you? They'd put you on a stake and they'd light the fire. Boom, and they'd burn you at the stake. Now, didn't turn away from any. That's our Proverbs. The lion is strong. Do we need some men of faith that will stand for truth these days? Do we need some people to say, this is wrong, this is right, this is what God's word says, and I'm going to stand upon God's word? Because they told Martin Luther, you better recant or we're going to kill you. And Martin Luther says, I tell you what, the scriptures and my conscience bid me what I'm telling you is true. And he would not back down. He would not back down. And he stood for the truth. Well, he escaped to the castle. Hey, when you read, when we sang that song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, do you think that meant something to him when he was hiding in that castle and God protected him from the wrath of the Catholic Church? Do you think that meant something to him? When you sing that song, you better put yourself in Martin Luther's shoes when he's praising God for being a mighty fortress to him. Because God protected that man. You know, the lion doesn't turn away from any, and Martin Luther didn't turn away from any. He stood his ground. They pounded him, trying to get him to recant. You know, we need some lions out here. Some men who will say, this is true, and I'm not backing down. Because that's what a lion does. A lion will see danger, but it stands its ground. Now, Martin Luther, he used the printing press. And out of all his contemporaries in various friends that he had that were on his side, somebody estimated that he wrote 17 times more pamphlets than anybody else wrote, getting the word, the truth of the Word of God out. Do you know what he translated into the German language? He took the Latin and took it and translated the scriptures into the German language so his people could read the Bible for themselves. They didn't have a Bible they could read. How do you think the Catholic Church felt about that? They were pounding him. Doesn't turn away from any. This is Reformation Day. And because of Martin Luther's stand, the 95 Theses, you've heard that on the door of Wittenberg? You know what I'm talking about? You've heard that? What those were debating points. He was calling the Catholic Church, I want to debate you on these points here. And he outlined them, every point of Scripture that he saw was wrong, 95 of them. That's how they call it, a public debate. Now, when a lion roars, do you know how far that sound can be heard? 5 miles away. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Christ. Do we need to raise our voice so that people can hear us miles away for the truth? If Satan goes about as a roaring lion, is he peddling his lies and deception to people? Everywhere. And Martin Luther raised his voice and shook Europe. I mean, it changed the whole continent because the Catholic Church ruled everything. Now, here's one thing that Martin Luther took a stand on, and see, the Catholic Church had this understanding. They would use the scriptures, but they also used church tradition. And what it came down to, if the Pope said something and scripture said something, the Pope trumped scripture. Okay? That's the way it worked. Tradition plus scripture equal teaching. Martin Luther said, no, it's Scripture alone. This Bible is our rule of faith and practice. This is what we live by, not traditions of men. And Scripture alone, 5 solas. Scripture alone, salvation by grace alone, salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. Those were the 5 things he stood for. Those are good things to stand for. Scripture alone, salvation by grace alone, salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. That was Martin Luther. This is Reformation Sunday. And in Proverbs here, the lion does not turn away from any. That was Martin Luther. Well, let's look in the New Testament here. Turn the book of Acts here for a moment. Look at somebody else in Scripture. Book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. It's Peter and John, and they've been arrested. What were they arrested for? They were arrested because they were teaching the people that through Jesus Christ they could be saved from their sins. And they arrested them for that. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? They healed this man that was lame. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, because the power of God was on him, they healed this man, by which means he is made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Now, this is a Sanhedrin that just condemned Jesus Christ a few days before. Peter's standing and saying, whom you crucified. Is that boldness? That's boldness. Is that the truth? That's the truth. And so he was standing before them, telling them the truth and having the boldness of God to do that, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man stands here before you whole. This man, this is a stone which is rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Tell me, is verse 12 true? Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is that boldness? That is boldness. We don't compromise, okay? The lion doesn't turn away from any. We shouldn't turn away either, because truth is truth, and truth is not going to perish in God's presence, because God is a God of truth, and we need to stand on the side of truth as God's people. Now, when they saw the boldness, where did he get that boldness from? Now, tell me a little bit about Peter. A few days before, a little maid girl said, aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of them? And what did he do? He denied it. What made the difference between that time and this time? The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And if you want to be bold as a lion, and you want to do God's work, and you want to honor God, you need to have the Spirit of God within you working. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, that would mean all they were saying there was in the rabbinical schools. Okay, the Jewish people had their own schools, but they went to school of Jesus Christ and were discipled 3 years by him. And they had the Holy Spirit. See, the difference was they realized they had been with who in the verse 13? They had been with Jesus. And that's the difference. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you're not going to be ashamed of me. And seeing the man that had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So they commanded them to go out of the sight of the council. They conferred among them, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident. And to all who dwell in Jerusalem, we can't deny that. But so it spreads no further. They didn't want to hear this truth out among the people. Let us seriously threaten them that they speak to no man in this name. So they called them, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. He put it right there on the table, because really it's an issue. Who are you going to obey? You're going to obey man or you're going to obey God? Who are you going to obey? For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's a witness. All they were speaking was the things they've seen and heard. They let him go. Now, a lion is bold. He doesn't turn away from any. Do you need some courage? Do you need courage? Fear is a huge thing. And we can be fearful of consequences. But I tell you this. I'd rather do right and stand right with God and be the only one in the crowd standing for truth, because one with God is a majority, and I know God will honor me in that last day when I stand with him and for him with the truth. I don't care how far the culture's going. I don't care how far the culture's going. I'm not trying to please the culture. You know who I'm trying to please? I'm trying to please God, because he saved me from my sins. And Martin Luther, when he stood there and he couldn't deny the scriptures, and he just cried out to God, God, so help me. They prayed a prayer right here. Verse 23 in Acts 4 and following. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests, elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they went right to prayer. P- Peter and John said, hey, guys, they're telling us to shut up. They're telling us to be quiet. They're telling us not to talk about Jesus Christ. They're telling us that we cannot do this anymore. So when they heard that, verse 24, they raised their voice to God. They appealed to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You have made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of your servant David, the scriptures have said, why did the nations rage and why do the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. Do we see that happening today? Because ultimately everything in our culture is the spirit of Antichrist moving. The one world government, you've got to be aware here, the one world government, it's coming. Finances. My wife and I just shopping in a store the other day. Sign said, exact change only because of coin shortage. I thought to myself, there's no coin shortage. They're trying to get you to use your debit card. They want to go to a cashless society. That's one step away from the beast being able to control. You cannot buy and sell without the mark of what? The beast. It's one step away. They're just trying to get rid of your money, your cash, and a cashless society. It's happening. It's happening. And we need to be aware as God's people and to have this boldness during this time, because they are gathering together against the Lord and against this Christ. Verse 27, truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servant that with all, what's that next word? Boldness. With all boldness. A lion doesn't retreat from any. We need some men of God who are going to stand their ground. And although that the culture is coming at you fast, you stand your ground. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my conscience, I'm going to do what's right in God's sight. Because they said, Lord, give us that boldness that we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken. God's power just came down upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Any men here today? Any women here today? Say for me and my house, we're going to stand for God. 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 Because guess what? The culture is going to push you and push you and push you and push you to try to compromise and give in. But don't do it. What does Proverbs here say? It says, the lion, which is mighty among the beasts, and does not turn away from any. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, help us as God's people not to turn away from any. Lord, each of us face challenges in our lives, whether it's at work, whether it's in our own families, to compromise and concede truth and righteousness. God, may we as God's people stand for holiness and truth in this world of darkness, in this crooked and perverse generation we find ourselves in. Lord, help us not to be compromisers. Lord, help us to have the boldness of God to fearlessly to proclaim your word. And Father, we trust you, and we know, Lord, that you know our downsittings and our uprisings. You know our thoughts are far off. And Lord, we look to thee for hope and encouragement. So God, help us. And Lord, I thank you for those through history, like Martin Luther or Peter and John or the Apostle Paul or even our Lord Jesus Christ before Pilate, who made a good confession. God, may we make that good confession that we will not give in to the culture and the ways of perverseness, God. Make us strong. Make us bold. Give us the strength we need this week, God, to honor you and to honor the name of our great God, because Jesus Christ is coming again to judge the world in righteousness. And Father, we don't want to be condemned with the world. So Lord, give us that boldness and give us that stance that we need to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray.